apologise for your dummy spitting effort. That's Sophie at Strathfield.
Good morning, Sophie.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for sending that in. Your mate, Sophie at Strathfield.
Good morning, Sophie.
Yeah, good on you, Sophie. Mark Waugh next.
Victory in the Northern Territory election, wiping out the CLP government after just one term. The new Labor government has at least 15 seats and could end up with as many as 18 of the 25 seats in the Northern Territory Parliament. Incoming Chief Minister Michael Gunner thanked voters for the extraordinary result.
They have rejected the chaos of the last 4 years and they have chosen to place their trust in Labor.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's plan for a same-sex marriage plebiscite looks to have run its race, with opposition leader Bill Shorten signalling Labor will block it. Mr Shorten has told Fairfax Media he fears a popular vote will fail and set back the cause. The Sydney Morning Herald says Mr Shorten's leadership group discussed the issue and while no final decision was made, they appear likely to vote the plebiscite down. Thousands of people rallied around the country yesterday calling for the closures of Nauru and Manus Island detention centres. There were big crowds at a number of events which were held across Australia. The Refugee Action Collective's Mark Gillespie was in Brisbane and has told Macquarie they want to send a strong message to the Immigration Minister.
Time Peter Dutton understood and recognised Australia's responsibility. They are Australia's responsibility and those people need to be brought to Australia and settled. They are genuine refugees and he can't escape that.
Hostel stabbing victim Tom Jackson remains on life support in the intensive care unit in a far north Queensland hospital. A Townsville hospital spokesman said Jackson's condition hasn't changed since he was admitted after a frenzied stabbing attack at a backpackers hostel late on Tuesday night. The 30-year-old was attacked at a hostel in Home Hill about 100 kilometres south of Townsville while trying to help fellow Brit Mia Aleph-Chung, who was stabbed to death. ACT police say a teenage girl has been indecently assaulted while jogging in Canberra's north. The 13-year-old was at Yerribee Ponds in Gungahlin on Friday afternoon near the skate park when she was attacked by a man on a push bike. Police described the man as being between 18 and 20 years of age, tall, clean-shaven with short black curly hair and tanned skin. Police say they arrested a man they found face down on a roundabout next to a metal pole he used to vandalise seven parked cars in Sydney South. They say as the 21-year-old struck and scratched the vehicles with the star picket, he was yelling at residents in Oatley to come outside and fight him. He's been charged with custody of an offensive implement and seven counts of malicious damage and will appear in Sutherland local court on September 13. And in Italy, a mass funeral has taken place for some of the 290 people killed in Wednesday's deadly earthquake. This is AIR News. Cronulla has beaten the Roosters and set up a final round showdown with Melbourne that will decide the 2016 NRL Minor Premiership. The Sharks beat the Roosters 37-12 at Shark Park. Hooker Michael Innes has told Macquarie they'll be ready for a tough clash with Melbourne.
Yeah, they've been the benchmark all year again, and no harder road trip than going to Melbourne, but I know our boys will look forward to it.
Round 25 continues this afternoon with New Zealand playing West Tigers at Mount Smart Stadium and the Newcastle Knights face the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Hunter Stadium. Greater Western Sydney has sewn up a top four spot with a 37-point win over North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium in what could be Brent Harvey's last AFL game on Victorian soil. Last week, Harvey, Drew Petrie, Michael Ferrito and Nick Del Santo were told they would not continue with the club next season. He's the defending supercars champion, but Mark Winterbottom's season is in danger of running out of steam. The Ford star barely warranted a mention at Sydney Motorsport Park yesterday as he finished 11th in a race dominated by championship rivals Shane Van Gisbergen and Jamie Winkup. The Sydney Super Sprint event wraps up today with a 200-kilometre race. And briefly, in Wellington, the Wallabies have lost the Bledisloe Cup for a 14th straight year. The All Blacks won 29-9. Australian Independent Radio News.
Are you stuck in traffic now? Think of the relaxing time later when you're enjoying a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Chardonnay, always affordable, by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Good morning in Arncliffe. It's very busy trying to get into the international terminal at Sydney Airport. Marsh Street, very slow. An earlier three-car accident not helping things at all. Around Barangaroo, there are road closures and special clearways for an emergency drill. Rolling road closures up the northern beaches from DY to Newport for the pub-to-pub fun run. The M2 on the break, city-bound through Macquarie Park. And in Earlwood, there's been a burst water main on Bexley Road at Homer Street. My Freedom members save 25% on everything at Freedom, from a sofa to sink into to the little things you love. 25% send off everything ends Monday at Freedom. Joining fee applies. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny in the Sydney area. Areas of fog in the outer west early this morning. Patches of light morning frost. Winds westerly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the early afternoon. A maximum temperature of 20 degrees. 0% chance of rain. It's a nice winter's day here in Sydney town. What about Moorebank? And let's go up to Queensland. Maxville.
Queensland. Moorebank.
Isn't it?
Ditto Sydney, 20 degrees. Maxville, beautiful day. Currently 11 degrees, heading for a top of 20 degrees as well. All sun up at Maxville.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio. This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
Sydney comes to life this September through November at the Sydney Spring Carnival.
And they're off and racing.
Be trackside Saturday, September 10th, when Group 1 Racing returns to Rosehill Gardens with the De Bortoli Wines Golden Roast Stakes. Cheer our best three-year-olds home as they strive for the lion's share of a cool $1 million. It's also your chance to splash your favourite silks and enjoy the finest hospitality. Book your tickets today at theatc.com.au. The Sydney Spring Carnival. It's where Sydney comes to life.
Chalmers is moving through. Chalmers is swimming well. The 18-year-old is going to get them. He's got them all. 18 years of age. And he's the Olympic champion.
Switch to play now. Foley inside ball.
Races up to hit the lead. She shot away in the Epsom. It's all over. Ecuador, sons of John Messine for the miners at Bowman High in the Irons, gives the big salute.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Final hour of the program. It's been a bumper show. Well, we think it has. Listeners might be able to tell.
Give yourself a rap.
Yeah, exactly. We did just then. Well, I did. 13:53:53. Tell us differently if you you don't think you've enjoyed yourself.
Now you've opened up a Pandora's box. I'll come flooding. Yeah.
Form an orderly queue. You want to have a go at us? 0419 SMS PSP. That's 0419 767 272. If you want to send us an SMS, a lot of people have at Big Sports Weekend. At Big Sports WEND is the Twitter account. We're looking for our talk topic is players who've played in two great teams. Don't have to be the same team, don't have to be the same sport, but we've had some great nominations. Stephen Edge is another one that's nominated by Dave via Twitter. Today's topic, 77 and 79 titles with the Dragons, and then 81, 82, 83, the Parramatta Eels, and he captained those sides too. So, he captained one of the St. George sides, and Craig Young was the captain in the 79 side, I think the way it is. Big hour coming up. We've got Mark War, our legend of the game, very shortly. Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au. We'll get our event cinema quiz questions out eventually. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest in rugby league, and we'll have a chat with Scotty Foster as well. And we'll take your calls on our talk topic, 13:53:53.
And Jimmy, our legend this week, probably I would say one of the most stylish batsmen ever to play Test cricket. One of those guys you'd pay anything and walk over broken glass to watch bat when he was in form. He loves the pun, he loves the races. The races yesterday where His Majesty was an unlucky fifth, and I speak of one of the greats of modern day Australian cricket, Mark Waugh. Mark, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And just firstly, he was a bit stiff, His Majesty, but pretty good second up run, Mark.
Yeah, g'day boys. How are you? Yeah, he was a bit stiff. I mean, just the way the race panned out and the barrier draw and the big weight, it was always going to be tough for him to make up that ground. But he's very strong to the line, Ray. I suppose he had a bit of a flashing light on him for next start. So get him up over a bit more ground and hopefully he can draw a barrier. The last six starts, he's just about drawn the outside barrier. So
that
meant we had to ride him further back than you would normally. So hopefully a bit of luck in the barrier draw and we'll be right.
A childhood full of sport, cricket, tennis, soccer, and from a very early age, Mark. You and Steve, because the stories are so linked, were you just keen to play or was that from mum and dad?
Oh, yeah, a bit of both, Jimmy. I think obviously mum and dad were very good tennis players and my uncle Dion Bourne was a good cricketer. He captained Bankstown first grade for a lot of years, so there was always sport in the family. And actually my grandfather, who's passed away, he actually played fullback rugby league for country. Up in the Ballina area, he played fullback, so I never played league at all, always played soccer at school and tennis and cricket. So we always had that sporting background in our family. It's just natural that, you know, we come home from school and get out the backyard and just grab a ball and play any sort of sport. So, and mum and dad always obviously encouraged us. And obviously with Stephen, you know, you sort of got a ready-made opponent. And no matter what game you play in the backyard. Then the two younger brothers came along, Dean and Danny, who were very good fieldsmen. They did most of the fielding.
Poor guys. They didn't get a batter ball, poor fellas.
Not too often. It's pretty hard to get the batter Dan, I can tell you.
Mark, what was your favourite sport then as a kid? Because I know you were very proficient, as Jimmy said, a number of sports, and particularly football or soccer. What was your favourite sport?
We really loved all of them. I mean, back in those days, winter was any sort of football case, so we played soccer, and then summer, cricket took over. So we basically played those two sports equally as much and enjoyed them as equally as much as well. So it wasn't until the age of about sort of late teens where we were starting to play professional soccer. We played for Bankstown in the youth league and state leagues, and then we went to Sydney, Croatia for a year actually and played there. The seasons were starting to overlap, so I really had to make a decision whether to give one of the sports away. And I think you know, cricket was always just that little bit more special. You know, every kid wants to get a baggy green, don't they? So it just took over naturally, but you know, I still love following all other sports as well.
It's not the runs you scored, Mark, during the course of your career. It's the manner in which you scored them. And
are you saying I didn't score many?
No, I'm not saying that at all, Mark. What I am saying is that it's the manner in which you scored them, and that there was that...
You cling bowled him then, Mark. Well done.
sense of, you know, the style and the grace. It's probably a ridiculous question, but do you develop a style or is that something that just came naturally to you?
No, just naturally. I mean, I had some idols. I love Viv Richards and Greg Chappell, you know, when I was growing up. They were sort of my favourite players. But, you know, I didn't really model my game on anyone in particular. Just the way it developed, really. I mean, everyone's got their own style, haven't they? You sort of get labelled with a certain style early in your career. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But, yeah, some people said I was lazy. Some people said I was elegant. They sort of go hand in hand. They sort of turn. But no, it's just the way I played, really. I mean, I didn't try and be anyone special or play like anybody. It's just the way it happened. And I mean, Stephen used to get upset that he used to be called gritty and unfashionable as well. And I used to be called elegant. So, I mean, I wouldn't have minded a bit of that sort of tag. And Stephen probably some of my tag as well. But at the end of the day, it's... You get out there and just do what you do, and people label you certain terms, and you go with it.
Yeah. Mark, I take you to two innings that always stick out in my mind when you're playing for Australia. One was a huge 100 you scored at the MCG in a one-dayer. Your first test match in Adelaide, the 1990-91 series, you got the 138 in Adelaide, and I said to Jimmy earlier, I think from the very first ball, everything seemed to come off the middle of the bat. Was it like that day? You were just in the zone?
Yeah, it was really, right? Yeah, I mean, I set a high standard, couldn't quite keep up to the rest of my career, but no, it was just, I mean, I was in really good form, I think, for Australia. I'd scored a stack of runs and was playing in Adelaide against England. I was quite comfortable against a lot of the English bowlers. I'd played a lot against them in county cricket, so I wasn't sort of overawed or thinking I was out of place. And yeah, just from the word go, it was obviously a beautiful batting track in Adelaide. We were in a little bit of trouble, I think, in the first innings when I came into bat, but I think the first ball was a short one, just went down the leg side, then I hit stroke one down the ground for three off Philip DeFreitas. And yeah, it was just one of those days where, you're right, everything just hit the middle of the bat. I was in the zone. I was, you know, never really looked like getting out, to be honest. So it was just just one of those days.
It's one of those days, Tim. Yeah. I remember it like yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, the one day innings in Melbourne, actually, I didn't hit the ball very well that day. I hit a lot of balls sort of not in the middle of the bat, but that managed to get 170 odd.
Yeah, it's
a funny game. Sometimes you don't play as well and get a bigger score, and then the next day you might be absolutely hitting everything out the middle and get nothing. So it's a little bit strange in those ways. But, I certainly remember the one-day innings in Melbourne as well.
Mm. With that test century, it meant that there's another stick man went on your thigh pad, which was a big story at the time. Where did that come from?
I obviously, my thigh pad, every time I got a first-class 100, I just put a little stick man and put the initials of the team it was against. So it just meant every time I went out to bat, obviously, you put your thigh pad on and you look at it. And it just reminded me that, I've scored quite a few hundreds. So it's sort of a bit of an inspirational thing and just something to get me focused throughout my career. So I think in the end there was, I think, 81 or 80 first-class centuries there.
Yep.
And a few, obviously, the test centuries amongst them as well. So it's just a little thing I started, and then I just kept going with it. It sort of got talked about.
Yeah, Mark, we mentioned that first test. Of course, Steve had made the Australian side, I think, 5 or 6 years earlier.
Mm.
You were scoring a mountain of runs in Sheffield Shield cricket for 2, 3, 4 years prior to getting into the Australian team. Was there frustration there? Were you
your bloody selectors? They're bloody
because we didn't have a dominant side at the time, and I know the 89 tour things started to turn around, but prior to that 89 English tour, we didn't have a dominant side, and you were scoring a mountain of runs, but couldn't crack into the team.
Well, I was close in 89 on that Ashes tour. I actually just missed out. I think Mike Valletta and Tom Moody sort of got my spot, the last spot in that year. But funnily enough, I was playing county cricket for Essex in that 89 Ashes tour, and I scored 100 against the Australians on that tour. So,
satisfying.
But, I mean, yeah, look, there's always stories of, whether you should have got in the team earlier or not. But at the end of the day, there's only 6 batting spots, so you've got to wait. You've got to bide your time.
Yep.
And I don't think it did me any harm. Maybe I could have been picked a little bit earlier, but I was certainly ready to go when I did get picked, which is a good asset to have. So, I mean, the sport's not all smooth sailing, is it? You have the ups and downs, and sometimes you've got to wait your turn a bit longer than others. I mean, there's guys like Matthew Hayden who had to wait an eternity to get a game.
Yeah, good point.
And even Mike Hussey, I mean, he got selected for Australia, I think he was about 30, wasn't he?
Yeah, 29, 30, I think, yeah.
Everyone's got their own story, I guess, but at the end of the day, if you're doing the right thing and making runs and taking wickets, you'll get a chance. It's just a matter of, when it comes.
You're one of those very elite cricketers at test level whose batting average is higher than your bowling average. Mind you, only just 41.81 and 41.16.
I call myself an all-rounder, then,
huh? Absolutely. Well, that was one of the things, Mark. Was it a back complaint? Was it injury? Because your medium paces when you first were in the international scene were very effective.
Yeah, no, I was stress fractured at the lower back, Jimmy. When I played in England, obviously, in county cricket and did a lot of bowling over there. And just one season, I probably wasn't the strongest sort of, I wasn't fat or obese or anything, but I wasn't physically that strong, probably where I needed to be. And, the pressure of my action sort of put a lot of stress on those stress fractures, and that's why I just started bowling off spin. I just couldn't sit in the field and do nothing all day, so I had to bowl something. So once the medium paces went, the off spinners came in, and they weren't too bad. I mean, I got a few wickets. I think I got about 30 test wickets bowling off spin, so it was just a way of being, keeping in the game, really. I always loved to do something, whether it was in the field, and sometimes you don't get to touch the ball in the field for quite a few hours. So I just thought, well, my back's gone. I can't bowl pace. I'll bowl some off spin. And I always bowl a little bit in the nets as well, because in those days, we used to actually bowl in the nets a fair bit, We used to bowl for a couple of hours in the nets. So that's the way that developed. And just kept me in the game rather than just standing at slip, chewing my fingernails.
Yeah, well, when you did finally break into that Australian team, it was a phenomenal era in Australian cricket, Mark. And it really, we had 2 super tours of England, but it was a 95 West Indies tour when the test team finally regained the number one spot. And, of course, there's that famous partnership that yourself and Mark put on in Jamaica, I think it was, 230-odd partnership.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, both scored the hundreds, and that won the series.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was lucky. I played with a lot of great players. There's no doubt about that. I started off, obviously, with Alan Border, that sort of era. And then, you go to the Shane Warnes, Glenn McGraths, obviously Stephen, Matthew Hayden, Ricky Ponting, Gilchrist. The list is endless. Mm. So when I first played We weren't that good a side. My first tour was the West Indies in 1991, and we got hammered. And then back in 95, the series you're talking about, that was really the changing of the guard. I mean, yeah. The West Indies were absolute legends, weren't they, through the 80s and the early 90s. And you sort of played against them, but you didn't really think you could beat them. But it wasn't until 95 where we did think we could beat the West Indies. We had a whole different attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big key there, that we actually went there with the intention of winning the series, and we played accordingly. We trained a lot harder. Our attitude on the field was very aggressive, and we got the result. And sort of from that period on, the West Indies really dropped off, and you know, Australia were so dominant since then, really.
Begs the question then, in your entire international career, best you played against, best you played with?
Best I played against, I played against Viv Richards, so I've got to say him, Sachin Tendulkar and Lara, they're the three.
Right.
That stand out. Then you've got Jack Callis sort of on that next level. So they're the best batsmen. Best bowlers, I'd say Ambrose, Akram, probably Murali from Sri Lanka. They'd be the three best bowlers I played against. Actually, Malcolm Marshall, better throw him in there. He was a great bowler, but he was right at the end of his career when I started. So, and then best players played with, obviously, Warren McGrath, Gilchrist, Ponting, Hayden.
Great era.
the list is endless. Mm. We just had a lot of great players, but good guys as well who were in there for the right reasons. You've got to have a great team spirit and everyone pulling together that still succeeds. So I was lucky enough to play with some really good guys as well.
Exactly, yeah. Mark, post-career, you've forged a whole new career, so to speak, in media. Do some great work on the Big Bash in the summer. Yeah. Everyone loves the Big Bash, and as an Australian test selector, do you enjoy those two roles?
I do, yeah. I've been in the media since I retired. I've obviously with Fox Sports there for quite a while and still do a bit of work there. But the last few years, once the Big Bash went to Channel 10, I've been doing that, which is great. That's a great job to have, really.
Great fun.
Great entertainment and good commentators. I'm working with guys I used to play with, so we get on well. I still love the media work. And then a few years ago, Cricket Australia asked me about being selected, and I said, look, I'm happy to do it, but I still want to do my media work as well. So I sort of got both jobs at the moment, which is great. The selecting is challenging at times, but it's good. I enjoy it. I've been up in Townsville the last couple of weeks watching Australia A play tournament up there, so it's good to see young guys coming through. But then again, it's a tough job when you've got to drop someone when you're on tour and you're the selector and someone deserves to play and you've got to tell them they can't play. That's when it's difficult. I love it. I love both aspects of the cricket, and then obviously with the horse racing with Kim, we've got the business there, so that's another aspect that keeps me pretty busy. So yeah, life's good at the moment, can't complain.
Just on that, the horse racing, speaking to some good friends of mine, they went out to watch you play one day. You were playing grade cricket for Bankstown at Sydney University. It was in 1992, and they were watching you bat, and they reckon, you got out to an unusual shot, and then you ran off the field.
Mate, you don't let the truth get in the way of the story.
Just let people know. It was Cox Plate Day.
It's an urban myth, is it, Mark?
Part of the story is true, Jimmy. I'll give you that, mate. I was batting against Sydney Uni. Actually, myself and Steve were batting, and we were pretty close to winning the game. We couldn't lose, and the Cox Plate was about 3 o'clock. And I backed superimposed because I went to the tab that morning and backed superimposed. So I was pretty keen to watch the race, it must have been. What the hell are we doing playing cricket on Fox Plate?
They'll never work it out, will they, Mark? They've got to get their priorities right.
Got to get the fixture list right. But,
and Super 1 too, which just kept it off.
I went for a rash shot, let's say that way. I did not run off the field that
time. Urban myth, Jimmy Smith.
Straight up the tab on Parramatta Road to watch superimposed when
Hey, Mark, just before we let you go, can we ask you quickly, what have we learned out of this Sri Lankan tour hopefully we can be better going forward into, particularly those when we play teams in the subcontinent?
Well, we've got India next year. We've got four tests in India, which is going to be very tough. Well, we've learned that we haven't really come that far batting against spin. The preparation was great. Obviously, as selectors, we thought we'd pick the best players to perform in those conditions. But we're off the mark. Our batting was very ordinary. We had a couple of players play well. But it's not easy playing over there. But, you've got to find a way, and we just couldn't find it. We actually got worse as the series went on. So it's, then it becomes a mental game. So it's not easy. As selectors, I guess we're going to have to look at players who we think are better players to spin than the ones we pick. But I don't think there's many out there. I think, you know, we've got to find a way. I mean, there's no easy answer, obviously, because it's traditionally very tough to make runs in the subcontinent.
Yeah.
But I thought we were well below par. There's no doubt about it. And each player will look at their own game and think, well, how can I do it better? So hopefully we go back to India in February and we'll have to play better, because now we're going to get pitches that are all going to be like that. They're all going to be turning and very dry. So until we start to play better on those pitches, we're going to have to play in those conditions a lot more. So that might make us better, just naturally, just more experience on it. And you just need that breakthrough innings.
And the confidence
where you,
soar.
Where you play well and you know you can do it. And then mentally you're in a lot better space. So it's not an easy answer. I can't really answer it. You guys, but hopefully we do better next time.
Mark, we've got commercial commitments that we've got to meet. It's been great having a chat this morning. I think we've got a gig coming up, the Singleton Rugby Club, in early November, so looking forward to chatting up there. I really appreciate your time this morning, mate.
All right, guys, good to talk to you.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Edward Wall there. Great to have a chat to him. Jeez, there's so many things you could cover there.
An hour talking about
128 Test matches.
Yeah, wow.
128.
What a player. We didn't even mention his fielding, Jim.
No, I know. Catching.
One of the greatest.
The catching.
He hardly ever dropped anything.
Yeah. Jimmy and Raywin Jr. scored a ton for Essex against the Aussies. Steve responded in the second innings with a ton of his own.
There you go.
That's from Tom.
Tom loves his cricket.
Well
he
spotted,
knows.
Tom. Yeah. 1353-53, the open line number. We better take a break, Raymond. We've got to get the skates on.
Sky Sports Radio has Tab Talk every morning at 10. Racing, sports, guests galore, and the all-important Tab Markets. Join the Tab Talk family every morning on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
So, there we go. We've got our second question in the Event Cinemas quiz. Where was the tab that Mark Waugh ran to after being dismissed on Cox Plate Day in 1992? Where was the tab that Mark Waugh ran?
He drove up the road, didn't he?
No, he ran to it. Remember, he ran off the field. He reckons that's not right. But Urban myth, apparently. 1353-53, the open line number. Still getting lots of nominations here from a football one for you that I thought Andy might have mentioned. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has won 13 league titles in 15 years that he's played abroad. PSG, Inter, AC Milan, Juventus, Barcelona, and now Man U. Paul from Glenfield, PS, as a Chelsea supporter. Hopefully his run is over.
13 in 15 years.
That's a record.
Extraordinary.
That is a record.
He's a winner.
Yeah. Speaking of winners, time now to speak to Trent Linscale from tab.com.au. He's on the line. G'day, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jimmy and Rain. You should have checked with Mark Waugh if he still had the pads on while he was running down to that tab.
There's a stick man on the thigh pad, exactly. All right, mate, some important National Rugby League games, starting with the Warriors up against the West Tigers today.
Yes, yeah, 2 o'clock at Mount Smart Stadium, where you have the Warriors $1.28 and West Tigers $3.65, and the line there is 10.5. For the margin betting, you've got the Warriors by 13+ at $2.10 and by 1-12 at $3.10. West Tigers by 1-12 at $4.50 and by 13 or more at $11. Solomone Carter and Manu Vadavai are the $8 equal favourites to score the first try. 4 o'clock at Hunter Stadium, Newcastle. They're just waiting for the season to finish. It's been a terrible one there. $4.25. South, some resurgence at the end of the season, $1.22. The line there is 13.5. For the margin betting, you've got the Rabbitohs by 13+ at $1.95 and by 1-12 at $3.10. The Knights by 1-12 at $5.25 and by 13 or more at $11. Greg Inglis and Alex Johnston are the $8 equal favourites to score the first try, with Joe Burgess and Aaron Gray $9. So the domination there for South in that match. And then tomorrow night at Pirtek Stadium, the last Monday night game of the season, you've got Parramatta $1.43, St George Illawarra $2.85, and the line there is 5.5.
Trent, three games in the AFL today. The most important one features your men Hawthorn. They must beat Collingwood to get a top four spot.
They must, Ray, and if not, then all of a sudden we're going to have GWS. They won't be playing Sydney in the first week of the final, so it'll just be interesting to see how it all occurs there. The middle one, $3.20 at the MCG. You've got Hawthorn $1.28 and Collingwood $3.70. The line there is 24.5. So the margin betting the Hawks by under 39.5 points is the favoured way at $2.15, and then over 39.5 at $2.75. The early match, there's no finals implications here. St Kilda $1.08, Brisbane $8, the line at 50.5. So as you would expect, the Saints by over 39.5 is the favoured way at $1.57. And then the twilight match to finish the home and away season, Fremantle $3.05, the Western Bulldogs $1.37, the line 18.5, so the margin betting there, the Bulldogs by under 39.5 $1.90, and then they've got over 39.5 at $3.60. And as you're aware, fellas, this is the last round of the AFL home and away season. No matches at all next weekend. Going to be very weird.
That's madness.
Very strange. You and I should take a bye leading into the semi-finals or something, Ray.
They might never back after that.
That's a very good point. Sri Lanka up against the Aussies in the cricket.
They are. This is the third of the 5-1 days here, Jimmy, and this is 7 o'clock tonight. Sri Lanka $2.15, Australia $1.70. The series is currently tied at one game apiece, and a couple of matches to finish off the third round of the EPL at 10:30 tonight. West Brom, they are $2.45 favourites at home to Middlesbrough, and then at 1 o'clock in the morning, Manchester City $1.25 at home to West Ham. So plenty of sport on, whichever code you like, and to check out all the markets on offer, you can head to your local tab at tab.com.au, and you can view all those markets and plenty more on your mobile. And don't forget, at the tab, we love a bet.
Yeah, nice one. Nice use of the... You've seen the ads, Trent?
I have seen the ads, and yes, I can understand why Mark Guy just presses the button on the window just to make sure at the end.
I'll tell you what...
And why didn't Chris Judd just leave the cafe?
Yep. I reckon that's some really great acting from Mark Guy. Doesn't
he did a good job.
Some really good acting. So there you go. Might go into the Athlete Actor Hall of Fame. Headed by Peyton Manning.
Just debating, fellas, whether that was when he was at West Coast or Carlton, because that's where he had most of his success at the Eagles.
Couple of best and fairest for the Blue Boys.
Let me assure you, it wasn't at his Carlton days, Trent, no matter what Ray Thomas says.
Ray would have been cringing seeing the score yesterday while he was at Rosehill Gardens.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Yeah. Anyway.
Good on you, Trent. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Trent.
Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. And just before we go to a sports update, this comes in from Chips with Chicken Salt at Maitland. Jimmy, is it true that Ray's hair flips over his eyes when he's doing his 120 push-up? Ray, can you confirm or deny that?
I can. I'll show you when 10 does it.
Okay. All right, 10?
It doesn't happen, no.
Oh,
as much
sure?
as you'd like to think it does, it doesn't happen.
Sports update time. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
A Matt Moylan field goal gave Penrith a 15-14 win over the Gold Coast in the NRL match last night at Robina. The Titans came back from 14-0 down to level at 14-all. Moylan's one pointer coming with 2 minutes to go. The win secures the Panthers a final spot. Cronulla beat the Roosters 37-12 to sit in second spot, and they'll play Melbourne next Saturday at Amy Park with the winner to claim the JJ Giltinan Shield. And a definite top four finish for Canberra after a 44-30 win over Manly. Today the Warriors play the West Tigers, Newcastle versus South, and tomorrow night Parramatta play St George Illawarra for the very last time at the current Pirtek Stadium. Still with league and led by captain Gareth Ellis, Hull came from behind to defeat Warrington 12-10 overnight in the Challenge Cup final at Wembley. The Swans wrapped up the AFL Minor Premiership with a massive win over Richmond in Sydney last night, 164-51. The Red and Whites piled on 70 unanswered points at one stage before winning the game by their biggest winning margin in 3 years. GWS secured a top four spot with a 37-point win over North Melbourne at Docklands, 100-63. In other results, Geelong 155 beat Melbourne 44, Port Adelaide 89, Gold Coast 66, and today Hawthorn can go from 6th to 3rd with a win over Collingwood. Well, it was a better performance than last week for Australia. New Zealand stepped it up in the second half to win the Bledisloe Cup match in Wellington 29-9, and with last weekend's win in Sydney, retained the Cup for the 14th straight year. The third and final match, which is not part of the Rugby Championships, will take place on October 22 in Auckland. Shane van Gisbergen won yesterday's first race at the V8 Supercar round in Sydney. Race 2 today at 2 o'clock with qualifying at 11:40. Meantime, Nico Rosberg has pole for the Belgian F1 Grand Prix. Teammate Lewis Hamilton will start from the back row because of a grid penalty. Daniel Ricciardo will start from fifth. Champions Leicester recorded their first win of the season with a 2-1 home victory over Swansea. In other results, Tottenham and Liverpool won all. Chelsea 3, Burnley 0. Crystal Palace and Bournemouth won all. Everton 1, Stoke 0. Southampton and Sunderland won all. Watford 1, Arsenal 3, Hull 0, Man United 1. Adam Scott is in outright third after the third round of the Barclays Golf Championships in New York. The Aussie is at 7 under. He's 2 behind the leader, Ricky Fowler. Next at minus 8 is Patrick Reed. And Jason Day is in a tie for 6th at 5 under. And it's Breeders' Crown Day at Tabcorp Park, Melton in Victoria, with 8 Group 1s, 2 Group 2s and around $1.3 million in prize money. Just quickly getting back to the last night on Monday night for the Pertec Stadium. Ironically, the very first game was played between Parramatta and St George.
Correct.
Not Illawarra at the time, but against Parramatta. That season, obviously, they won the premiership. They won the minor premiership and beat Canterbury in the grand final. So hopefully in 2019, when they go back, could be something to look forward to. It'll go from a 21,000 capacity to a 30,000 capacity. Some say 30, 33, I've heard. And it's amazing that as great as it's been, the 30 years, the atmosphere, the crowd, who would have thought that the atmosphere was at its greatest during a Western Sydney soccer game? Who would have thought that?
You wouldn't have believed that 10 years ago,
would you?
Would
never have believed that. The RBB, the Red and Black Block, the Wanderers.
If it's anything like Amy Park in Melbourne.
I saw a tweet Friday night.
Oh, gee, it's a spectacular stadium.
I know the pictures of the players in the dark.
They did a blackout.
On top of the stadium was brilliant.
Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. And they're doing it again this week for the game against the Sharks as well, I believe. But if the new Parramatta Stadium, whatever they're calling it, is anything like that, then it would have been money well spent. Steve Sharp scored the first try in first grade.
He did, yeah.
And I think Sturlo in Rugby League Week was given a 10 out of 10. For his performance that day against the Dragons.
Great player.
Great player.
Well, the Eels will miss 2 seasons there and the Wanderers will miss 3.
Now, I think they've got a horrible record at ANZ Stadium, the Eels.
Parramatta, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be the logical
place.
Got
to change it.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned much about the Bledisloe Cup, have we?
No, we didn't.
Nothing to talk about.
I didn't see only the highlights. I hadn't seen any of it. I was able to watch a bit of it last week, but 29 points to 9, 20-point victory. I think the line was around about that.
4 tries to nil, 10 tries to 1 across 2 matches in a week. Jimmy, am I being a bit harsh? I heard Stephen Moore interviewed after the match, and he said he was proud of the Wallabies and how they improved on last week's performance. Jimmy, as an elite, you played sport at an elite level, wouldn't you come off the ground and say, I'm so disappointed, 2 weeks in a row we haven't beaten this team? Wouldn't you be talking about the disappointment of not matching it with the best side in the world rather than saying I'm proud of the players for improved performance?
I can understand what he's saying, but I think it also hints at a level of expectation that is lower than...
Wrong mindset.
Can you imagine an All Black coming off the field?
No way.
And
wrong
saying,
mindset.
Oh, gee,
you've got to come off and say, we've got to beat these blokes next week. We can and we will, and this is how we're going to do it. Not come off and say, I'm proud of my players for an improved performance. I got thrashed.
14 years since Australia's won the Bledisloe.
Not right.
14 years. That's anyway. Some period of dominance. Talking about our talk topic, BK, Brett Keeble on Twitter, has said, and this is at Big Sports WEND, Dennis Rodman. He won 2 NBA titles with the Detroit Pistons in 89 and 90, and 3 which arch rivals the Chicago Bulls in 96, 97, 98.
That's right.
Arguably the world's weirdest ever elite sports person, Dennis Rodman. Not you, Brett Keeble, Dennis Rodman. 13:53:53, the open line number. A break and back with more.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV from Samsung, LG, Sony or Hisense. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with 4K UHD TVs. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen. The tech guys call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition, and get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley. For a limited time only, terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
All covered, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the title.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
We get these two SMS, Raymond. These are good. Will they burn down the stadium after Monday night, just like the old Cumberland Oval? That's from Herbert. No. No, we're not encouraging that at all. And then this one. What was wrong with the old Cumberland Oval back in the early 80s? It only needed a coat of paint. You blokes are soft. From Davo. Thank you, Davo. Ferry over to Luna Park, Davo, for an incredible day of Melbourne Cup celebrations. That's Tuesday, November 1. The first Tuesday of November.
Where will you be, Jim?
That's a good question. I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Gig somewhere?
Yeah, there'll be bloody kids running around everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Might miss the race. Picking up kids from school.
No, we won't.
Okay.
We've saw something yet. Featuring live betting facilities, fashions on the field, plus lucky door prizes, raffles and sweeps. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Star Akmal Saleh. Salih? Akmal is fantastic. And the MC's Gary Eck. He's a comedian as well. Very, very good. Guarantee a lively atmosphere while you enjoy a fabulous afternoon of fun and entertainment. This is where they've got it right, Raymond. A three-course lunch and 4-hour beverage package.
Got that 100% right.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
4-course lunch and a 3-hour beverage package. You know, everyone's upset with that. But it's the 3-course lunch and the 4-hour beverage package. It's available to suit small and large groups. Spots are strictly limited for this guaranteed to sell out fast event. Now, book at lunaparkvenues.com.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And now we're joined by the one and only Dean Ritchie. Dino, good morning. And well, it all comes down to a massive game next Saturday night between the Sharks and the Storm for the minor premiership.
Yeah, Ray, first things first, I love a good beverage package.
4 hours, not three as well.
You want the 1-course lunch and the 8-hour beverage package.
Four? Just warming up. Come on.
Dino does take centre and lead. He's very hard to dismiss.
No, you're right, Ray. It's a big weekend coming up next weekend with the Sharks and the Storm. And there's a real vibe around town, I can feel at the moment, guys. The final series is really alive with the Broncos and the Cowboys winning, the Sharks, of course, winning. You've got the Storm, the Bulldog disappointing, you know, Penrith still an exciting young side. It's really wide open. There's no real standout to me this year. Every year you think there's two or three that can win it and there's four or five along for the journey. But this year I genuinely think someone from the bottom four could make a run. Whether they win it, it's another thing. But certainly there's a great vibe around semi-finals time in Sydney and New South Wales, and of course, you know, look, it's wide open. The Cowboys still a team to beat in my eyes.
Well, that'll do me, because this time, you know, last year when it was the Cowboys up against the Broncos, you said, oh, I don't think Sydney cares about that. It's arguably the greatest grand final of all time, Dean Bulldog Ritchie.
He's got a long memory, Dino.
Well, it's all right in hindsight for you to say that, isn't it?
That was a great atmosphere prior to the game.
Look, I came out the next week, Jimmy, and basically said, look, I got that wrong. I admit that. I thought Sydney wouldn't give two hoots about two out of town sides. It was one of the great grand finals. Of course, we all know that now. And the way it finished was unbelievable. It was theatre. But at the same time, I still think, being Sydney-centric, that a grand final has more vibe when there's a Sydney side in there.
What about the Raiders yesterday? Did they just show a bit of an underbelly from a defence point of view that makes them question about whether they are genuine premiership contenders?
Oh, possibly, Jimmy. You could certainly say that. They conceded 30 points against Manly, who aren't in finals contention. But look, they've won 9 games in a row. It's pretty difficult to pick holes in them at the moment. We thought with Blake Austin's injury that the club might struggle a bit, but they just went about their business nicely. So certainly there was some defence there that Ricky Stewart wouldn't be happy about. But look, where do we put the Canberra Raiders? They're a difficult side to quantify at the moment as to what damage they could do in the finals. I mean, can they win the comp? They've got no big game experience. Mm. They don't have any state of origin players as such.
So probably no Blake Austin.
Really, just to look at and say, well, where will this team finish? Can they win the whole thing?
They've had a great run at it. I asked Jimmy earlier too, Dino, Blake Austin, what's your mail on his hand injury? Can he get back sometime during the finals?
Yeah, well, I spoke to the Raiders during the week, Ray, and look, you know, Robbie Farah, Dylan Walker have had similar injuries, and they were back after 2 weeks.
Mm. Okay.
So, look, I
hope for the Raiders.
Exactly, mate. I would imagine the Raiders would be looking, hopefully, for him to be back maybe week one, probably week two in the semi-finals. However, their press release during the week did state that he could be out for the season, which is very unusual for a press release to say that. Normally, the releases to fans are on the positive side, but the mere fact that they mentioned he could be gone for the year does, I guess, you know, associate some concerns with the injury.
Mm.
But certainly, if you look at other injuries, very similar with Farah and Walker, and as I said, they were back in a fortnight.
No, he might be positive that he's out for the year. That might be the positive bit. Benji Marshall, there's some explosive allegations in today's Sunday Telegraph around whether the relationship between he and Paul McGregor nearly got physical.
Mm.
Have you heard anything about who or where Benji Marshall might end up playing next year?
To be truthful, Jimmy, I haven't. There are obviously negotiations going with some clubs, I hear. But
Benji Marshall? I see where Jeff Toovey came out and said that Newcastle would be a good fit for him.
He may well be, but look, Newcastle having a reputation at the moment of certainly the last 5 years of signing veteran players, whether Benji would go there, I guess, out of Sydney is another issue. Look, I think Benji Marshall should retire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be cruel, and you never knock a champion, and you don't kick a champion when they're down. But I said last week, guys, I want to remember Benji Marshall as the brilliant player with the step, the player every kid wanted to be, the flick pass in the 05 grand final and the golden boot winner. I don't want to see Benji Marshall go one more year, go out poorly, go out as a player who's just behind the game, who's off the pace. I think maybe it's time for every player has to go through it, guys. We know that. I think it's just time now for Benji to sit back and go, I've had a wonderful career, but now's the time.
Yeah, no, good point. Just on wonderful careers, Jamie Lyon had a bit of a send-off yesterday, and hasn't he been a wonderful servant for the game, Dino? Manly, Parramatta, New South Wales, Australia, one of the great centres.
Yeah, certainly down at Brookvale. I mean, obviously Bozo is number one down there, head and shoulders above the rest when it comes to 5'8" and centres. But Jamie Lyon, I think he'd be either, you know, 2, 3 or 4 after Fulton. Premierships in 08 and 11. Just a good fella. Jamie Lyon never changed. He's still the bloke that came out of the Wee War Panthers 15 years ago. He's just goes about his business very quietly, away from the footy limelight. He just loves being with his family and playing a bit of golf. He's just a real country boy. You know, he loves getting back to his mates up there in Wee War, and he just never changed, Jamie. You interview Jamie, you just know he doesn't like it. He hates the spotlight. He hates the limelight and the glare. And even at his press conference last week, he was kind to the media. But he just said, look, you know, I'll be glad to get away from all these cameras.
I'm trying to think of the player who was in the centres in the Manly's team in their history. Because I reckon, was it Ray Brannigan?
It might have been Ray Brannigan.
Ray Brannigan. Well, Jamie Lyon would go past Ray Brannigan, do you think, in that term?
He probably would. I think Fulton was in the centres too, Jimmy, which gave Cliffy Lyons a start at number 6.
Wally O'Connell. Was it number 6?
Great Wally O'Connell.
And Cliffy Lyons was on the bench.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But certainly Jamie Lyon, you'd think, would go past Ray Brannigan, as great a player as Brannigan was. And, you know, if you're talking that, Jimmy, you're talking a wonderfully gifted footballer that can be in the Manly team of the century, given it's a wonderful, proud old club, Manly, which started, of course, back in 1947. There's been a lot of players in their club over the years.
Absolutely. All right, now, any changes to... Let's go through these sides. The Warriors up against West Tigers today.
Yeah, Chris Lawrence didn't make the trip across the ditch, guys. He's got a knee injury. I'm hearing Michael Cheekham will come in for him. Kyle Lovett, in some doubt too. He's got an illness. So he has travelled from what I hear, but he is in some doubt for the game. Warriors should be okay. Sean Johnson is on 667 points. He's just 7 behind Stacey Jones, who holds the record on 674. So maybe a bit of history across in Mount Smart Stadium this afternoon, if Sean Johnson can go past Stacey Jones. Now, there's a 4 o'clock game up there in Newcastle. They're playing South Sydney. Nothing official yet. There might just be a minor adjustment. Pat Mataute, rather, might go off the bench for the Newcastle Knights. And, of course, don't forget on Friday, Cade Snowden announced his retirement due to a neck injury. We hear the South Sydney side are okay going into the game. And there's that Monday night game at Parramatta. You guys just talking about the fact it will be the last game at Pertec Stadium. Eels should be okay. Tarek Sims for the Dragons might come back. If he does, it would be for Will Matthews. And I think, too, guys, you'll almost find it might be the last Monday night football game, too, which will be interesting and a little bit historic, I guess. It's not around next year. So, maybe a bit of history there on two counts at Pertec tomorrow night.
Any other news around Dino?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, there is, Jimmy, rather. Chris Heinington, I think you'll find Newcastle are having a look at him. They may just sound out the Sharks for. He'd be a good fit up there, albeit, again, what we've just discussed about being a veteran player, but maybe they need a couple of hard heads up there too with a young side. So watch for him maybe to pop up there next year. Vave at Manly, it looks as if the Parramatta deal is proceeding, but very slowly. There's been a little bit of balking down there. So Vave, the big prop at Manly, if he doesn't go to Parramatta, he might be on the lookout for another club. Interesting in the week that Matt Gillette said he might be going across the ditch next year. That sent the Warriors and New Zealand media into a little bit of a frenzy, thinking that they might get Matt Gillette. And Andrew McFadden came out and said, look, you know, I don't know anything about it. I'm not sure what Matt thinks across the ditch actually means. So it's a bit unusual that a player would say that and the coach would come out and deny it. And
might be the
just
tweet.
By the way, I know Mal Meninga is mulling over his 24-man squad for the Four Nations in England after the year. Fullback's the one he's mulling over most. He's got a great array there to choose from. Boyd, Tedesco, Barber, Moylan and Haynes. So five players lining up there and Mal really scrutinising the number one up there. They'll probably take two of those guys. Who they are, I guess time will tell. Boyd, you'd think, would start favourite.
Yeah, good on you, Dino.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Dino. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, Ben. All the best.
See you, mate. Dean Bulldog Richie there, the number one rugby league writer.
Comprehensive
for the Daily
always.
And Sunday Telegraph. A break now. We'll be back with more.
Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL. It's the only magazine carrying official NRL team lists, plus expert analysis, previews, statistics, feature stories on your favourite players, even a fantasy NRL guide. Big League, your most trusted source of rugby league info and the highest-selling rugby league publication in the country. On sale every Thursday in news agencies, supermarkets and at every NRL game every week.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
If you love a bet, then we'll bet you love the jackpots and specials coming your way every week. So place a bet you'll never forget today on the Tab app, online at tab.com.au or at your local Tab. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Hi, it's Joe McKinnon. Let me tell you, the thrill and enjoyment of racing can now belong to everyone. Yarramalong Racing Club is now open, so you can join the fun of racing. Already, 33 horses are in the club stable by stars like Sebring, Hinchinbrook and Stratum. And Yarramalong has engaged top trainers like Mick Price, Mick Kent, James Cumming and John Thompson. Be part of it for as little as $2,000 with no more to pay. Yarramalong Racing Club will bring you closer to racing than ever. Learn more on the club website. yrclub.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
We need a third question.
Yeah, we do, and I've got it. Where did we go in our... Where was our regional area that we went to in our last weather update? What was the regional area that we went to?
Well, you
in the last weather
update? Sarcastically, I think it was in Queensland. It was in Queensland, yes.
Queensland? Yeah. What was our regional area that we went to in our last weather update? Time now to speaking of weather. I think he's under it. This is Scotty Foster. Hey, Scotty.
I'm under sunny skies this morning, boys.
Good on you, Scotty.
Fantastic, Scotty. Now, tell us about this 2012 Toyota Land Cruiser Prado. Gotta love a Prado.
You do, mate. I know you've got one, and this was actually my brother's, so I know this is a good one as well. He makes sure he looks after himself. This one's a 2012 GXL 4x4 wagon. It is a one owner with logbooks and full service history. It's an automatic 3-litre turbo diesel and comes with plenty of creature comforts like a push button start, climate control, multi-zone air conditioning, reverse camera and rear park sensors. It's got ABS brakes, brake assist, traction control. It's got hill ascent and descent control, cruise control, 9 airbags, Bluetooth, multi-function control screen, and he also had the dual headrest DVD screens for the kids in the back. He's got the roof racks and a tow pack. It's silver in colour and in absolutely super condition. We have this on sale today for further listeners at $41,990 drive away. That is a great price. It's a lot cheaper than any others on the internet, so go and have a look at that. And, boys, I have only just got that car, so if it's not on the internet, it will be by tomorrow. But give the boys a call there on 963-75024 or go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, because that's a great car and I know it's going to be perfect for any other listeners out there.
Yeah, Scotty, it sounds like it's got everything, that Prado. And also, you guys have got everything as well, because if anyone, our listeners, needs finance packages, you're there to help too.
We certainly are. So if you want to get something like that Prado and you need a bit of finance to get it, we've got some great finance packages available. If you've got good credit, we can help you. If you've had credit issues in the past, now is the time to call. If you're on a pension, if you're a single parent, if you have paid or unpaid defaults, we can help. If you're new to the country or on a student visa or sickness benefits, we can help. So if you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or call Richard on 963-75024, because he'll be able to get you into that vehicle you're after.
Now, you're on tenterhooks today for the boys from the Intra Super Premiership, mate. Couldn't quite get the job done against Mounties yesterday. So what needs to happen today in this Penrith v Warriors game?
If the Warriors win, we're in. If Penrith win, we're out.
Okay.
The for and against, like Penrith will end up on the same points as us, but their for and against is a bit better, or a lot better. Like there's no chance of that changing. So if they win,
right,
they're gone, unfortunately. Okay. So I think that might be the TV game, actually, this morning. It kicks off at 11:45, I think. So
there you go. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be watching that, and fingers crossed the Warriors can get that job done over there.
I went past Ringrose the other day, drove past Ringrose, saw the new grandstand. Gee, it looks good.
Yeah, the ground is looking very good. We've got a great training facility out there now, and the grandstand's super for all the people that go out and watch. So, it's looking really good.
All right, great to chat, Scotty. We'll do it again next week, mate.
Yeah. All right, boys, can I just quickly say a happy birthday to Rod Pritchard. He's one of the directors out there at Wanny, and he's a great bloke, and I just wish him all the best for today, and hopefully the boys can... hopefully the footy results go the right way and he gets a bit of a birthday present.
Absolutely. Good on you, Scotty. Happy birthday, Rod, from everyone here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend team as well. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
All right, boys. See you later.
See you, Scotty.
Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. Check him out online, Raymond, fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give him a call, 9637 5024.
What's your bet today, Jimmy?
Okay. Well, you want to get to that now? Mm-hmm. I thought we might do Margaret first.
Okay. We'll go
ladies first.
Much more important things. Yeah, Margaret first. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning to you both.
And how are you, Margaret?
Ray, you were my hero on Heroes and Villains the other day.
Yeah.
You were number one. Could you tell me what it was for now?
Gee, I don't know.
Was it,
could be anything, Margaret. Yeah.
this could open up a Pandora's box, Margaret.
I know you were number one. That's why I said you were my hero.
Gee, I don't know.
I think, is it the Kennedy Award that Ray won, Margaret?
Yeah, it could. Yes, that's it, the Kennedy Award.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Margaret.
I just want to say congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Margaret.
Fantastic.
That's very nice.
And I tell you what, you've got a sexy voice, and so is your wife. So there you go, two sexy people, eh, the same house.
Well,
not sure what the offer is here, Margaret.
Margaret, I'll go with it.
We'll probably have to go to a late night
Margaret,
version,
you can ring any time. How many CDs are for Margaret here?
By the way, Margaret's got some... Margaret, we've got some Enya to send you out to. What was the name of it?
And
Coast
just,
to Coast and into
it,
Chicago.
And just great rock songs as well.
Yeah, rock songs as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what Margaret will need those for. But anyway, thank you very much for the call, Margaret. And he brings his Kennedy Award in every week. So there it is, sitting up nicely. fantastic.
Oh, Jimmy Smith.
No, I saw Yvonne Sampson the other day, who sent you a text message to say congratulations.
She's a very nice lady.
You mentioned again of your award.
Very nice lady.
I didn't know anything about it till you mentioned it to me, Ray, so there you go.
No, I didn't say anything to you, Jim. You're lucky you'll find out.
Congratulations to Jared from Sydenham, who is our double pass winner, courtesy of Event Cinemas.
Well done, Jared.
That's
the gold class.
That are the gold class, yeah. What town did we go to? Maxville? In Queensland. The tab that Mark Wall ran to on Cox Plate Day in 1992 was on Parramatta Road. And Andy Pascaletti's two players, Cristiano Ronaldo and Luis Suarez.
Outstanding.
Raymond, a bet today.
Tigers for me. I like West Tigers 1 to 12.
Head to head.
Head to head,
1 to 12, 4.50. Wow, okay. You know what? It's old boys' day up there at Newcastle.
They very rarely
lose, but I'm going to get them at the plus 13.5.
Okay, Rabbits are playing well now.
Yeah, plus 13.5 the Knights on that one.
Sunday ticket for you, Jimmy, in the bunker.
Sunday ticket for me. What have you got on, mate? You've a few stories to pump out?
Work, run, Jim.
Fair enough. Any push-ups?